I'll be reading tonight from Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. That's Micah 6, 6 through 8. With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?
You didn't get the word, there is a handout for tonight. I just got it out there a little late. And so if you want to go get one, feel free. We're going to do a kind of a profile for one of the probably most interesting characters in the scripture, mainly because so little is said about him, but his life was such that he had a different kind of ending than just about everybody else. He didn't die. Said of Enoch in Genesis 5th chapter, then Enoch walked with God. 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and I'm going into this because something you got to realize from this, so that all the days of Enoch, there were 365 years. Now get that, 365. I want that to stick because it's going to come up in a moment. The story of the life of Enoch seems almost too short for such an extraordinary individual. Very little is said about him. You know, it's kind of scattered throughout the Old and New Testament. You know, but he is a true example of what men ought to be in whatever time they live. In fact, as we look at the time of Enoch, you will see he is kind of exemplary. He appears to hold the secret of true living. That is a godly relationship, so precious to God that God took him without him dying. Further, looking more closely at just what little is used to describe his life, really, even the little speaks volumes, you know, to guide us into the kind of life that he lived. So as we get into this, Enoch's walk, Genesis 5:24, he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Now, Enoch is not different from us other than in his choices and the courses he followed. And that's what makes the difference for people in this life. What do you choose to do? And that's the only thing that's different between him and us. Yeah, is his choices. So as we look at this, he had a time of growing up to do. And this is why I want you to stick in your head. There's an old joke about this guy was asked, how long you've been married. And he says, I've been married, five wonderful years. And somebody pointed out, well, you've been married 30 years, though. Yeah, but only five of them were wonderful. You know, in the case of Enoch, okay, he served God, it said, 300 years. But he lived 365. So it took him almost 65 years in order to get his act together. Okay, so there's hope for all of us. You don't have to come out, you know, like a Josiah, you know, 8 years old and decide you're going to serve the Lord. And especially you can see maybe he had a lot of things to contend with. He grew up roughly about the time of Noah. You know, we'll look at when it was said the thoughts of men's hearts were evil continually. In fact, his son Methuselah is going to die in the flood, or just before the flood, whatever. The cutoff dates are roughly the same. Also, his walk was as figurative as we do today. That is, in a figure, you know, there's nothing really different about it. You know, same kind of figure, same like image. It was not a life of contemplation. He didn't withdraw to a monastery, you know, to live a life in seclusion from the cares of the world. You know, he was inserted into the world and dealt with it. In many other ways, Enoch's life would parallel Noah's. That's what we're going to look at. Notice, Noah, Genesis 6:9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Okay? Now, Noah wasn't taken up like Enoch was, but it said the same thing. He walked with God. In Genesis 7:5, and Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. So we see walking with God is doing all that he commands. So we're getting the descriptions are being filled in. Also, there's six here. In this, Enoch and Noah then are no different than we're supposed to be. When we look at these people, they're really exemplary, individuals, but they're not, other than what the choices they made and the courses they took. Titus 2:11 and 12, I quoted enough. For the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us deny godliness and worldly lust, live soberly, righteously, godly, this present age. That's for all time. That's what Noah, that's what Enoch did, that's what we're to do. Further, in Philippians 2:15, that you prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. That's what Paul told the Philippians. Children of God, above reproach. This is normal Christian character. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We think we're in a declining society, a perverse generation. It couldn't have been worse than that which Enoch and Noah lived in. It's getting a choice which way you want to go. Matthew 28:20, we talked about this morning, teaching them what Jesus said to his disciples. You want to make a disciple, teach them to deserve all. So the life that was lived by Noah and Enoch are also the kind of lives that we're supposed to live. Okay. The term to walk with God is also found among the prophets. In Micah 6:8, was read by Greg, the last verse, he has told you, O man, what is good. Okay. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. So we're adding characteristics here. Blameless approach, the Hebrew writer also adds Enoch's walk was pleasing to God. And that's something we need to look at too. Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken up so they should not see death. So that gives our definition of what it means that he was not. Okay, he didn't die. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Now, Ephesians 5:8-10, that's what's required of us. Paul tells the Ephesians, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light, learning what is pleasing to the Lord, or trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And then, nor was Enoch's walk merely a reflexive one to let the world do its thing. That is, he didn't go, okay, I'll serve God and let everybody else do what they want to do. Reflection that's just concerned him. Now it concerned all those around him. In 2 Peter 2:5, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah just didn't spend 100 and some odd years just building a boat. While he was building, he was also trying to get God's word into people's minds and hearts, trying to make converts. Okay, notice in Jude 14 and 15, and about these also Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied. So Enoch was out teaching also. Now he was telling the people God's word, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So Enoch took a stand. He stood with God and preached against the sin of the world. Enoch's walk is such that it was to end. Okay? In his service to God, it did end. Okay? But notice when it ended. Once he decided to serve God, sometimes we talk about the struggles that we have with the physical infirmities and the people we have to deal with, and we just get tired and worn out and weary and well-doing. How about doing that for 300 years? Sometimes we got to watch what we complain about. Revelations 2 and 10, we're all told to be faithful unto death. We don't know when the death is going to come. Could be tomorrow for us. We could be, die tonight on the way home. Or it could be many years down the road. The point is, you make the commitment, the decisions now to serve God and be pleasing to Him, and that's what God requires of us. Is Enoch's life more special just because, you know, he didn't die? Noah died even though he walked with God. So whatever reason God took Enoch doesn't make any difference. Okay? Enoch wasn't better than Noah, but Noah died. Okay? We're all going to die. Doesn't mean our lives can be or have to be any less special than Enoch's was. Okay? We may not die either. Okay? The Lord may call an end to things before the end of our life. We might find ourselves, like 1 Corinthians 15, of being, you know, instantly changed. Okay? The manner of going doesn't matter. It's the process of getting there, until we get there, that matters. Okay, and then Enoch's passing, Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken up so they should not see death. And he was not found because God took him, for he obtained the witness that before being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Okay, so although Enoch's end of life is different, it's not too different than Elijah. 2 Kings 2, so it came about when he had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I can do for you before I am taken up. And Elisha said, well, please let me have a double portion of your spirit to be upon me. And he said, "You have what you ask is a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken up, yeah, in that whirlwind, okay, if Elisha sees it, you can get your wish. You know, God will grant it to you." So Elijah was taken up. There wasn't anything special about Elijah. Not according to Elijah was a man of passions and problems like we are. Look at Elijah's life. There's times he had doubts. You know, he just got kind of wimpy at times. But he also, you know, took on, great tribulations. 450 priests of Baal, whatever. And then, you know, sometimes he just got really, you know, downhearted because of the sins of Ahab and Jezebel. But it says, in James 5:17, Elijah was a man with a like nature as ours. Nothing different about him. He wasn't an angel. He wasn't a prodigy. He wasn't, you know, whatever. Yeah, he was exactly like we are. But notice the difference in the lives. Okay, in the decisions he made. You know, he served God even when he thought he was the only one left. But notice the power he had because he was in association with God. He prayed to God and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again and the earth opened up and the earth, the heavens opened up, the earth produced its fruit. Yeah. Do you have that power? Yeah. You know, what do you pray to God for if you don't expect some answers? Same nature as us. If we make the right decisions, if we follow the right course, then we're going to be pleasing to God. And if we're pleasing to God, He is behind us all the way. And He has the promise, you know, anything you ask will be granted. So Enoch's passing is referred to as a translation. Guess what? You've already been translated. That's what Paul told the Colossians. Colossians 1:3, you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of His dear Son. Okay. Although we look at Enoch as a very special individual, you know, we're required to be a special, to live above the world. So we can translate also if we are righteous, going through the list, blameless, obedient, walk humbly before our God, Micah says, praying earnestly, like Elijah, confronting evil, like Noah, and seeking to please the Lord in everything. Now, we've picked out certain things about each, you know, but each of these individuals, Elijah, Noah, Enoch, okay, they all did these things. And they're all no different than us. They're examples for us that we can do the same thing. It's not above us. We don't live in as cruel a world as Noah did. Okay? We don't face the same odds that a lot of things like Elijah did. But we can do, to the best of our ability, all the things that God requires of us, keeping all of His commandments. And then, we'll live a godly life. And we'll be as notable in our living, in our lives, as those notables of the Old and New Testament. I never know when I'm going to get verbose. Things come to me and the sermon drags on. This is one of those times where we've already been through one meeting. Let's get out of here. So again, the invitation is extended. We presented everything for you. And with this morning, when we talked about the ministry of righteousness, okay, we noticed why it's so special is because of what God did. It came in glory because it was brought in by the death of His Son, the blood shed by Jesus Christ. God did everything that's required of God in order to bring about a law of faith. Okay, so tonight's lesson is what is required of us. If God did everything, can we do less, really, to put ourselves out there to make sure that what God's will is, it is kept, that hopefully we can save ourselves first, help each other, and then reach out into the world. We can't really convert anybody unless we ourselves are proper light. Okay? So is there anything we can do to help? You need baptism, make yourself right with God, have your sins washed away. Do you like the prayers of the congregation? Whatever your needs are, let us know at this time as we stand to sing.